Book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 7. I'm going to read part of another man's sermon. Stephen's sermon, Acts chapter 7. We're going to break in at verse 17. But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abram, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with the kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children, to the end they might not live. In the which time Moses was born, was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. When he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, he came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. And he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. The next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, "Sirs, your brethren, why do you wrong one another?" And he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, "Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?" Then fled Moses at that saying, was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 3 sons. When 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. As he drew near and beheld it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, "I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, "Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground." Now please, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. And God would bless to us the reading of his own precious word. Have you ever heard the expression, if I only had my life to live over again, if I had my life to live over again, I'd do things different. Would you? You look at young people and you think to yourself, you know, as far as education is concerned, the choices that you make now are really the foundation for the rest of your life. We that are a bit older, we look back and we think, well, you know, there's some folks that got good education. Very good employment. Early retirement. Everything's going good. If you had your life to live over again, how would you live it? Someone once said that life is really a series of choices. And I believe it is. You didn't choose to be born. You didn't choose who your parents would be. But as life went on, even as a youngster, you and I made choices. Some were good. Some not so good. But we've all made choices. I've been thinking of this man, Moses. He didn't choose to be born. Nor did he choose to be born at the day and age in which he was. But God had a purpose for his life. A definite choice, purpose for his life. A Pharaoh came in power in Egypt who knew not Joseph. The children of Israel were under great affliction, great bondage. They cried unto the Lord for deliverance. A little boy was born. I believe that you'll find the meaning of his name is saved out of the water or saved from the water. I was sitting here this afternoon and I thought of it this way, you know, really. He was saved, you know, his mother made an ark of bulrushes and put him there in the water, and as a result, the princess found him, and so you could say he was saved out of the water. But I go beyond that and I think to myself, you know, if Moses had continued the way Pharaoh had planned out for him, he might have ended up the same way that Pharaoh did. Pharaoh was not saved out of the water, that's for sure. Life is a series of choices, and I want you to think about this man, Moses, and I want you to take it as a parallel to your life and to mine today. Now, I'm not talking about materially. I want to think about something that's far more important. I want you to think about the spiritual aspect of your life. The spiritual aspect. You see, Moses was a man who had a purpose in life. Oh, it's true that he probably saw the situation that the children of Israel were in. And And he probably thought, you know, I could do something about this. One day he saw two Hebrews fighting together, and he went along and he said, well, what are you fighting like this for? We're brethren. And threw it up in his face and said, look, who are you to be a judge over us? We saw what you did yesterday. You killed an Egyptian. And Moses, he thought that they would recognize him at that moment to be their deliverer. But they definitely didn't. And he fled into the land of Midian. You see, it wasn't God's time. In the land of Midian, God appears to Moses in a burning bush. 40 years there. 40 years of learning from God until finally he brought him to deliver Egypt. Hebrews chapter 11 is called the faith chapter. When you come to verse 23, you're reading, by faith, Moses. That's just the opposite to what this world does. This world is very calculating. This world works everything out. This world has a program, an agenda. By faith, Moses. Moses made some very important choices. And I trust you will too. Moses chose to please God. Moses chose to say no to Pharaoh. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Have you ever thought about it? You know, if you could sit down and talk with Moses as a young man, and if he was to tell you his life story up to that point, he would tell you that back when he was born, many children were slain. But his mother, she made an ark of bulrushes, and she pitched it with pitch, and she put him in it and cast him out, and just trusting God. I thank God for godly parents. Godly parents who are willing to rely on God. That's the kind of parents Moses had. I don't know what his mother thought. I don't know if she had an escape plan, or plan number two, or plan number three. I don't know. But I do know that God had a plan. Absolutely amazing when you think about it. The daughter of Pharaoh? Man. They were trying to live a very low-profile life. They had a baby that was in danger. And the daughter of Pharaoh, she found that child. She recognized the child was a Hebrew. But she took that child as her own. And you know part of the story where Moses' sister, she was watching, and she suggested that she'd know a very good nursemaid to look after the baby, and of course that was the mother. Anyway, Moses, he lived there in the temple, in the palace, and he was trained in the ways of Egypt. And I suppose if I get nothing else across, I want you to understand this, that the ways of Egypt and the ways of the world are really transient. Just for a short time. He was trained in those ways. But there came a time when he looked out over the land of Egypt and he saw the affliction of his people, the Hebrew people. And he made a conscious choice. Think about it. He had everything a person would want to have. My mom is a princess, you know. And my granddaddy, he's a king of Egypt. Top that one. Kind of hard. And I live in a palace. And look at the clothes I'm wearing. Maybe he had his very own little chariot. I don't know. He got the best education you could get. Most likely he was being groomed to become a pharaoh. But I read that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You see, there is a God in heaven. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Joseph, the God of Moses. There was a God on earth too. He lived right there in Egypt. His name was Pharaoh. And he considered himself to be top God. So really it was a conflict of interests. Moses refused. He made a choice. It was going to be a costly choice. Oh, for a short time it was going to cost him something. But in the end, it really cost Pharaoh his life and his kingdom. But it was a costly choice. The next choice he made was this. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, how does that fit in for you and I? You look at the world around about you tonight. How old are you? How much time left? The choices that I'm making today, do they have a spiritual value? Are they for eternity in view of the judgment seat of Christ? He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Paul writing to Timothy, he says, they that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. If we're not suffering persecution, maybe something's wrong. Maybe something's wrong. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. Now, the writer of the Hebrews, this is what he wrote. What did Moses know about Christ? Well, I suggest to you that he looked forward to the cross, and we look back to the cross. He trusted the same Savior we do. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. As he looked over the children of Israel and what they were going through. And I wonder if there wasn't a revival in Egypt. You see, they'd gone many years when things were going pretty good, humanly speaking. But now this new Pharaoh rose up and he turned on the heat. And very often when believers are going through heat, That's when they have a greater appreciation for the things of God. And he saw that. How could he be up there in his ivory palace looking down at the children of Israel and not be associated with them when really, in fact, he was one of them? I read that he had respect unto the recompense of reward. You know, the odd time you get to talk to certain people, and not so long ago I was talking to a man, and he asked me what I thought about investing in China. I don't mean China teacups. Looking for somewhere to invest his money. He's got everything going for him as far as the world's concerned. He's younger than I am. But you know, you can make your plans for this life. As soon as it's going to be over. And this life is just a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. It thrills my soul when I hear of young brothers and sisters who are willing to step out by faith and preach the gospel in a foreign land or even in this country. You'll never regret it. Never. Oh, there's going to be tough times. There's going to be times of real testing. And every test is just a preparation for the next one to come. But God is faithful. It's God who calls. It's God who sends. It's God who provides. Moses, he had respect on the recompense of reward. He was looking beyond this life. Sometimes children say to mom or dad, they ask something and mom says, no. Dad says, no. For example, hey, Dad, can I borrow the car? Can I use the car? No. Yeah, but why not? No. What don't you understand about no? It's because two letters? You know? No is no. Yes is yes. Moses said no. He said no to the pleasure of sin, which are only for a short time, for a season. Oh, notice the word pleasure is there. It is there. There are pleasures in sin, but it's only for a short season. He said no. He said no to the treasures of Egypt. They're probably spread all over the world today in museums, artifacts. He couldn't hold his stuff, could he? He said no to the treasures of Egypt. And he said no to the pomp and the glory that he would have had becoming a Pharaoh. And he said yes to the reproach of Christ. He said yes to the riches of Christ. He said yes to the recompense of reward. Series of choices. He forsook Egypt. What does that mean? On Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus prayed and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That word forsaken means to be totally abandoned. He did that for you and he did that for me. God cannot look upon sin. Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He was forsaken. Moses forsook Egypt. He said, no, totally abandoned it, left it, gone, finished. Not fearing the wrath of a king. Oh yes, Pharaoh was able to give his licks, you know. Oh yes. I can just hear Pharaoh saying to Moses, Moses, you are an ungrateful wretch. Look at how my daughter lifted you out of that river. You are nothing. We lifted you out and we made you what you are today. And we've groomed you and we've trained you and we've you know, look at what you're saying goodbye to. Moses could say, I'm looking beyond that. I'm looking to Christ. You see, this little life is soon going to be over. Soon going to be gone. Just by way of interest, I remember when we were living in St. Lucia, and Brother John Norris, he contacted me and he said, listen, we've got X number of Truth and Tidings left over every year. We can send you a free subscription, you know. How many people in the assembly? Well, we could take maybe 20, 25. Okay, so they came down. And the young believers down there, when they saw Truth and Tidings magazines, they started looking through, and I don't know why, but they got to the obituaries. And they came to the conclusion that Christians live longer than anybody. Isn't that something? Yeah, long livers. Don't smoke. Don't drink. No partying. Sure, eat a lot. He looked forward to. He said goodbye to Egypt. Goodbye to Egypt. Not fearing the wrath of the king. Through faith, he kept the Passover. The Lord's Supper and the Passover are not the same thing at all. But tell me, tomorrow morning, are you going to be breaking bread? Are you? By faith, he passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. Yeah. Humanly speaking, an absolute impossibility. But Moses had dealings with God, and God had dealings with Moses by a burning bush. And as a result, the God of the impossible did the impossible. My question, if you had your life to live over again, how would you do it? Well, however you would do it, start now. May God bless His Word.